Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this weekend is confirmation. Yes, it's Palm Sunday, but here it's confirmation as well, hence the red on the altar and here on the pulpit in my stole. What a great day. What a great day Confirmation Day is. It's a great day for those who are being confirmed, a day for which they have looked forward to, studied, and prayed, and waited for 3 years. It's a great day for the parents and the family who gather around, a day that they have looked forward to for years. It's a great day for your pastor, a day anticipated and planned for throughout hours of instruction. A great day for the entire congregation, a day to remember your confirmation, and a day to welcome these 13 young members into the church. A great day, most importantly of all, because this is a day that the Holy Spirit will breathe on us. This was the focus of our spring confirmation trip in Chicago, the Windy City. We talked about the Holy Spirit, the Ruach Kodesh. That's Hebrew, by the way. Throughout our 4 Bible studies in 48 hours, and a private worship service plus a public worship service and many activities, we discovered how the Holy Spirit was at work throughout the biblical events, how the Holy Spirit is at work throughout our lives, how the Holy Spirit calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies. When God breathes on us, His life comes into us. His breath gives life. Breathe on me, O breath of God. When God formed Adam out of the dust of the earth, He breathed life into his nostrils, and the man became a living soul. Ezekiel, he saw a valley filled with dry bones, and God breathed, and they came to life. In the upper room, Jesus had already risen from the dead, and yet the disciples were there locked behind a door. And suddenly Jesus was standing among them, and he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The Lord breathed on his disciples, and they received the Holy Spirit. Jesus then told his disciples, "Now I'm sending you out to make disciples of all nations, but don't go until you get power from the Holy Spirit that he will provide." 50 days after Easter, on that Pentecost day, he finished what he started on Easter night when he breathed his new life into them. The account in Acts chapter 2 says that the disciples were all together, and suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, the same word is used for wind, breath, and spirit, both in the Greek of the New Testament, pneuma, and in the Hebrew of the Old Testament, ruach. You know, in the imagery of the Bible, when God breathes, a wind comes out of his mouth, the wind of the Spirit that gives life. Breathe on me, O breath of God. And so you ask, when does God breathe on me and give his Spirit and life? Let's think of 3 particular times. First, in baptism. Jesus told Nicodemus, you know, Nick at night, that the life that we receive at our natural birth does not bring us into the kingdom of God. In order to become part of God's kingdom, to have God's life in us, we must be born again. This is one of the times that Jesus is making it clear that he is telling us the truth. I tell you the truth. This has been our Lenten focus as week after week we have talked about one of the statements where Jesus says, I tell you the truth. And this time Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless this one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then he goes on to say, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. You are born again. And that happened when God connects his Spirit, his breath, to water in baptism. In your baptism, God breathed and you were born again. And second, our confession of faith. After I am baptized, I continue to learn what happened in my baptism and what it means for my life. I learn that I am a sinner and that I need forgiveness of sins. I learn that Jesus, God's only Son, died on the cross to pay for my sins. That was no mistake. God wanted his Son to die. He sent him to pay for your sin and my sin by the death of his Son. He sent him because the wages of sin is death. When I say, I believe, I trust Jesus, and God has breathed on me. St. Paul says, no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the power of the Holy Spirit. God breathes on us in baptism, and our confession of faith is a result of God's breath. A third important time for God's breath is at confirmation. I bet you saw that coming. When we are ready to make a public confession of faith into which we are baptized, when we have been taught the faith, when we are ready to stand and promise to be faithful to the Lord, even unto death, it is then that we are confirmed. So what does it really mean? There are many different ways to describe confirmation, a program, a rite, or ritual, but the dictionary definition stresses the word firm, confirmation. To be confirmed means that something is made firm, made certain, made sure. So at confirmation, you are made firm. But how are you made firm at confirmation? Well, you confess your faith and you make a promise, a vow, that you will not fall away even unto death. Does that do it? Does your promise make you firm? No. Well, the pastor, he puts his hand upon your head and he reads a Bible verse, a scripture, and then he speaks a blessing. Does that do it? Does the pastor make you firm? No. Well, the congregation prays for you. Does that do it? Does that congregation make you firm? No. All this is involved, true. All is important, true. But it is God who does the confirming. He is the one at work. And specifically, it is the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit. Hear the blessing that is spoken at your baptism and again at your confirmation. The Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you the new birth of water and the Spirit, and has forgiven you all of your sins, strengthen you with his grace to life everlasting. God has given you his Holy Spirit. God breathes the Spirit, and you are filled with new life. Baptism, confession of our faith, confirmation. These are particular times the Holy Spirit breathes on us and is at work in us. Breathe on me, O breath of God. But confirmation is not the final fix. that takes care of us for the rest of our life. In addition to baptism, confession of faith, and confirmation, the Holy Spirit works where and when He wills through the means of grace. We must live out our Christian life, and the Holy Spirit does not leave us alone. Likewise, the devil does not leave us alone either. Renee tells how she fell away from church. My Bible got dusty. Slowly I found church and God were secondary. I became weaker and weaker in my witness. As this gradually happened, her excuse was, God knows I'm only human. You see, the devil causes us to doubt in ourselves, to doubt in God. That's one of the ways the devil tries to lead us astray. There's another way. Barbara explained how she became one of the looters of the Los Angeles riots, a mother of nine. She said, we needed food. All the stores were burned down. We didn't have anywhere to go. There was no mail, so we would not be getting any income. And everybody was doing it. Everybody is doing it. That's another way the devil gets at us. He makes sin look attractive. Now, the devil has his own way to get at each and every one of us. Rationalizations, real temptations, rejection, and ridicule for faith. The devil causes us to doubt, and he makes sin look attractive. That's what he did in the Garden of Eden, and that's what he's still doing today. What can we do when this happens? We can pray. Breathe on me, O breath of God. And we can go to His Word and sacraments, because through them, God breathes His life into us again and again and again. Yes, it's true. Jesus is not physically present to breathe on us as He did His disciples in that room on Easter night. He still breathes on us in baptism. He breathes on us through His Word, the Holy Scriptures. He breathes on us as we receive His body and blood in our Lord's Supper. Baptism, confession of faith, confirmation, these are certain times the Holy Spirit is breathing on us. But living out the Christian life, the Holy Spirit is always with us. So we pray. Breathe on me, O breath of God. Amen. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen.